I want us to think today about the trials in our lives. We're all faced with them every day of our lives. From the time we wake up till the time we go to bed, we're faced with trials. They come upon us in multitudes. And especially if we're trying to do the will of the Lord, we know that Satan is trying his best to destroy us, to bring us to our knees. And what I want us to look at today is some thoughts that will help us to be able to endure, to be able to get through those trials in our lives. We have some passages of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 there, where it says, we find the writer here saying, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials," he says, "that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Going on over to a few more chapters, in chapter 4 and verses 12 through 16, we find again it talks about these trials. And he says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part He is blasphemed, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." I find it very interesting to note that in both these passages, it talks about joy and rejoicing and being glad, along with the idea of suffering trials. And we're going to get into our lesson and we're going to see a little bit more about how that is possible. For the most part, when someone is suffering through some trial in their life, there is no gladness in their heart. But when it is for the purposes that the writer here is discussing, we will see how that we can gladly and joyfully endure those trials. I want us to think about this for a moment, something to think about, and that is lessons learned. When everything in life goes through so easily, and we breeze through life, and there's no problems, no trials, financially we're in good shape, everything just seems to go well, our health, everything is just working as it should, how many lessons do we really learn from that? Life is easy. But when the trials are blended in with that life, there is where we truly learn lessons, lessons that we need, lessons that are going to strengthen us, lessons that are going to give us the opportunity to be able to endure those trials. So we need these trials in our lives. Even though Satan is throwing a lot of tests and trials at us, we need those. And I want us to look at that. I want us to think also on this thought. Consider the fact that trials are like tests. Now, when I was a younger boy in school, all the way through, that was one of the things I didn't care for too much, was tests. But tests were to dig into our minds and our thoughts and to see just what we learned from the things that we studied. And it also gave us an opportunity to see that where my weak areas were and where I needed to strengthen myself. And that's how we need to look at these trials in our lives. That these trials are times when I might not be able to get through it like I should, but I learn from it, and it helps me to do better in the future when that trial faces me again. And just about every trial that we face, it doesn't happen only once. These trials are enduring throughout our lives. I want us to consider also the fact that it is a trying of our faith. Turn your Bibles back over to the book of James there in chapter 1. And notice in verses 2 through 4 of this passage here. Again, James, the writer here, he says, "My brethren," he says, "count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Now notice again, like the writings we just read there in Peter, we find that this idea of joy is associated here with these various trials. He says there, "count it all joy when you fall into various trials." And here is why. He says here, "knowing that the testing of your faith," that is the trial, it's a test, it's testing our faith. But notice what it does for us. Why should I be joyful when I'm tried this way? Because he says, "the testing of our faith produces patience." And he goes on to say, "but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." There is something to benefit from these trials. And even though when we're involved in, and these trials are involved in our lives, at that moment in our life, we may not see the good from it, but this is the very time that we need to be looking into it and trying to find something positive, something that I can bring out of this trial that is going to make me stronger and make me better as a child of God. It is a trying of our faith. I want to look at some examples of this. We read about Abraham. Abraham was a man that God looked at as being a righteous man. But he too was tested. Even though he was a very righteous man, he was tested. God came to him one day and told him, "You need to leave your kindred, you need to leave your home." Now, he was a very wealthy man, from what I understand. But he said, "You need to leave all this behind." He says, "I want you to go to a place," and he says, "I'm not telling you where I'm sending you. You just got to trust in me. Follow my directions." Abraham lived in tents during this time of his travels. And during this time, he was tested over and over again. He and his wife Sarah were promised a child. In their old age, they had not produced a child of their own yet. Yet God comes to them and says, through your son, all nations shall be blessed. God gave them a son, Isaac. And then one day God told Abraham, he says, "Now I want you to take Isaac. I want you to go to that high mountain over there. Go up into that mountain and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice." That is a test. A test that was put before Abraham. And as we read and as we learn from history, Abraham did exactly what God told him to do, knowing with all full assurance of his faith that God would fulfill the promise that he made unto him, that through thy seed all nations would be blessed. He knew that if he offered his son on that altar, that God would raise him back up. That he would fulfill that promise. That's the kind of faith. And that was the test of Abraham's faith. We look at Moses. Moses, as you recall, as a very young infant, to spare his life, his mother put him in a basket and floated him into the water. Well, here comes Pharaoh's daughter and sees this child in a basket. Takes him into the palace. And there raises him as her own. He was considered as one of Pharaoh's sons. He could have inherited great wealth. But as we read in Hebrews, the test of faith came upon him just as all. He had to make a decision. He had to choose the sufferings with the people of God or choose the wealth of being referred to as Pharaoh's son. And as we all read in history how it ended up, he chose to be with the people of God, to suffer with them, to lead them out of Egyptian bondage. These were all tests throughout his life. And then we look into the book of Job, and all of us know about Job. Great test of faith upon a man, and again, had great wealth, had a large family, but Satan tested his faith, and God allowed it. See, God needs to see how strong and how genuine our faith is. But just as God is in control of everything, God limited Satan when it came to Job. Took his family. Took his wealth away from him. And for some, we would crumble and we would be desolate in ourselves. But for Job, he remained faithful unto God. He wouldn't even curse God when his own wife would not support him. The great test of faith in these men is throughout history. And these are the tests that you and I face every day of our lives. Similar tests. So what will help me to overcome these trials? What's going to give me a different look on these trials? Well, one thing is, I need to realize that these trials are brief. They're not going to last forever. They're not going to be for throughout eternity. When we read in Revelation there, and we read in chapter 21 about what heaven is like, do you realize that in that description of heaven, nowhere is there written that we will face trials? They're not going to be there. And that's why it's so important that we allow these tests to be given so that it'll strengthen our faith, so it will reassure us of our faith, so it will demonstrate just how genuine my faith is to God so that I can have that home in heaven. It is just for a short period of time. Whenever you turn your Bibles over to 2 Corinthians, and notice how Paul discusses this thought in particular here with these Christians here, in chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17, here he says, "Therefore we do not lose heart." And see, that's what happens so many times during trials in our lives, is it not? We lose heart. We lose faith. We become weak in our faith. And here Paul, he's trying to reassure them and he says, "Do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet," he says, "the inward man is being renewed day by day." Trials don't help the flesh. It helps the spirit. It helps our emotional state. It helps our mental state. It helps us to be strong faithfully. And he goes on to say, "For our light affliction," and I like the way that Paul, how it's worded here, it is a light affliction. You know, sometimes our trials, we think that nobody else has ever faced these kind of trials. Temptations we're faced with every day of our lives. And we think of ourselves and we think, "Woe is me, I know nobody has ever faced these kind of temptations in their lives." But yet God says, "There is no temptation but such as is common to man." Every one of us face similar trials. Every one of us face similar temptations. And these are all light afflictions. And he goes on to say, which is just but for a moment. But notice what it's doing for us. It says it is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See, there is good that comes out of these trials. It is all in how the perspective that we have on these trials. I can look at it in a negative way, and I can allow it to destroy me. Or I can look at it in a positive way, and I can say to myself, you know, these trials are only going to be here for a little while. But the glory of heaven awaits me. That home, eternal with God in heaven, it awaits me. And that in itself can help us and aid us to get through those trials in our lives. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, here again, Paul writing to these Christians in Rome. And notice what he says here. He says, "For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared." See, Paul's saying there, don't compare, you can't compare this life, this physical life. There's no comparison to that that awaits us. He says, I know that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What a wonderful thing to think about. And to help us to get through those trials in our lives. I preach a lot of lessons on trials and tribulations and temptations. Because why? Because we're all faced with them. I have seen so many faithful members of God's family that have fallen by the wayside, that have allowed trials and afflictions to destroy them. Where in essence, if they had just looked at it in a different way, in a different perspective, they could have seen the good that the trials were doing for them. They just needed that different attitude to look at. Here, Paul, he's trying to reason with these Christians, and he's letting them know that you just cannot compare to what is awaiting us in heaven. I want us to think also, the second thought is knowing that trials purify us. Some people think, oh, how in the world can a trial in my life, some kind of persecution in my life, how can that purify me? Well, we find, and again, going back over to 1 Peter chapter 1 there, and notice what it says there in verse 7. Well, actually, let's just go back and read the latter part of verse 6 there, where it says, "You have been grieved by various trials." Now, notice in verse 7 what he says here. I mentioned briefly about this genuine faith, and notice what he says here. He says, "That the genuineness of your faith." See, God is not interested in just any faith. God is not interested in just knowing that He exists. God is interested only in genuine faith. And so tests need to be given so that God can recognize those who are genuine and those who are not. Notice there what he says. He gives this illustration of gold. I've never seen gold in its rawest form, but I've heard that it's not as beautiful as pure gold is. And there's a lot of other minerals and deposits that are in that gold that make it look that dull. So in order to bring out the genuineness of the gold, it has to be refined. That's what he means there when he says there, notice there, though it is tested by fire. Now how is that fire tested in me? It's the trials. The trials are the fire. And that fire is testing, it's getting rid of, you might say, the minerals and deposits, the things that are not pure, to where what is left is pure faith. Just like gold. They don't make rings and things and jewelry. They don't make it with impure gold. They test it. They refine it. Our faith needs to be tested. It needs to be refined so that we can have a genuine faith. a pure faith. And as he says there, so it may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yes, our faith, the trials that are put upon our faith, it purifies our faith. God is testing us all the time. God is allowing Satan to put those tests upon us so that he can see for himself the genuineness of our faith. In Job chapter 23, we find Job, he makes this comment very similar to that. And notice, in his mind, he had realized this and recognized this because he says, but he, that is God, knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, Job says, I shall come forth as gold. And isn't that exactly what happened with Job? When we stop and look at the reading of the history of Job, he was looking for answers, yes. But was his faith shaken? Did his faith diminish? No. He remained faithful unto God. He retained his faith. And throughout all the trials of the boils from head to feet, his physical health, his financial gain, his family, all was taken from him. And throughout all of that, he remained faithful unto God. And just as he says here, when God has tried me, will I be able to say that I will come forth as gold? How do I face those trials? How do I face those persecutions in my life? Do I look at those trials in a positive way where I can look at them and say, now, here comes this trial. It's coming upon me. How can I take this trial in my life and turn it around for good and not for evil? But as I said before, I've seen so many that have fallen by the wayside because they allowed that trial to eat them alive, to destroy them. So as we face our trials in this life, look at them as these tests. Tests that we need to pass so that I can understand that it's only going to be for a little while. And through these tests, if I remain faithful unto God, it will refine me. It will purify me. It will make my faith genuine. If you're here today, we'll stop there and we'll finish here in a little bit, but if you are here today and you have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, the greatest decision that man could ever make in his lifetime is not what job he can have or who he's going to marry in life. The greatest decision that man can ever make in his life is that of obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Once again, this life is only brief, but eternity is forever. We need to ask ourselves the question, where do I want to spend my eternity? God has prepared a place called heaven for those who have demonstrated genuine faith will spend their eternal lives with Him and the Son and the Spirit throughout eternity. But rest assured, as God has mentioned, He has prepared a place also for those that are not faithful, for those that are rebellious against Him, for those that refuse to do His will. It will be a place of torment. It will be a place of outer darkness, a place where no rest will ever occur. Make that decision today where you want to spend your eternity. If you are a child of God, and maybe your faith has been shaken in some way, maybe there's been a trial in your life that you feel like you've allowed Satan to take that advantage of you, and it's weakened you in some way. Come back to Christ today. Make it right. Have that genuine faith that God is so much is looking for in each and every one of us. Whatever your needs are, we hope and pray you'll come forward. While together we stand and sing the invitation song, let us sing.